The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
I was just waiting to see how long I could go before, you know, somebody said something. Morning, folks.
And suddenly, my redneck friend, he starts singing.
Oh, man, I love that song.
For all those people who didn't know what it was.
That's right.
Maybe we'll play the whole song someday.
My redneck friend. I don't know, it just seemed like a fun song at the beginning.
Yeah, it did.
It was like years ago.
Now look,
I still
look,
like it.
Look at where it's taken us.
You tried to make me change it, too. Little did you know you'd be the co-pilot and you'd have to hear it every Sunday morning.
That's Jackson Brown, right?
Yeah.
Jackson Brown.
He's not a commie, is he?
No. I don't know about that.
He's a commie. We'll have to change it. You know, I'm learning more about famous people, and I'm not
liking
it.
Well, he was part of the no nukes movement back in the day, so I it's probably a safe assumption.
Yeah, but lately
that he
hasn't.
But who knows? I can't say for certain one way or the other.
He's not PETA or vegetarians for... No, yeah, okay, good.
He might be a vegan. I don't know.
Yeah. Just something about that these days. I don't know. Who was I was talking to yesterday? I said something about vegetarian. She's like, I'm a vegetarian. I go, yeah, but not a bad vegetarian.
Yeah, like, well, you know, present company excluded.
Ruh-roh. Oh, my word.
Boy. Hey, well, welcome, everybody, to We the People Radio.
20 minutes later.
Back on track here.
It's probably a bad idea to stereotype vegetarians as far as their politics.
I know, it's terrible. I've always been able to do that because...
Well, I was a vegetarian for a lot of years.
You mean I could stereotype you too? God, see, that blows my whole deal.
I can be vegetarian for like a night.
Liar.
As my wife likes to say, she cured me of that.
She taught you how to be a meat eater. Oh, my word. Well, it's daylight savings time.
You ain't marrying into this family unless you eat meat.
Yeah, there's something wrong with you. Well, everybody's probably sleeping because we would have been sleeping. And actually, you know, this whole deal about, you know, us driving in the same car coming here, it's kind of wrecking our fun.
It is?
Yeah, because last
year... I'm having fun. I don't have to drive.
Yeah, but last year, that's when Elizabeth slept in. Remember? And she forgot.
And then
we called her at like 20 after 8. We're like, hey, are you okay?
Why?
Yeah, I'm just drinking coffee. We're like, well, could you drink it here? Because we're on the air.
Oh, I thought that was next week.
I know. When she saw it on Facebook. It was the old misled by Facebook. Uh-huh. Wouldn't it be funny if we were misled by Facebook and we were actually an hour early and it wasn't real? Oh, my word.
Yeah, I'll never forget the look on her face when she walked in the door. High rate of speed.
That was super funny. That was a hat day. Oh, my gosh. Well, see, part of this problem for all those of you who don't live in town or weren't there last night, we did our annual fundraiser and banquet last evening. And so, I don't know, it didn't run that late, but kind of late.
That was fun, though.
Super fun.
It was a lot of fun. We had a pretty good crowd there last night.
I actually don't know how many people were there, but all the tables were basically full.
One estimate was 200.
Yeah, and Chris Reznor won like 5 guns.
Yeah, he was cleaning up.
You won too.
Yeah,
fix was in.
I know. It's like, what the heck? That was awesome though. Good for him.
Well, I'll tell you what, word's going to get out next year because that if you want to go to an event and you want to win a gun, that's the one to go to. Your odds of winning are very, very good.
What, did he buy 1,000 tickets or something?
No, the funny thing, he only bought one ticket pack.
It just must have crinkled him right, or how people do, the professional crinklers.
Well, I started rubbing my tickets on his leg, and hey,
that's a little bit too much.
Share there, but he liked it.
We're headed right to the denutering, except for the fact that they're having a baby, so congratulations to them.
Yeah, there you go.
And the dessert auction was super fun.
Yes.
Although I think it was new. I think most people that I talked to said they had never been to some place that had a dessert auction. Which is a crying shame because it's very, very fun. Great way to do dessert.
You get to pick your dessert.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Denise Young got just some amazing cakes from Sublime Cakes donated. And some of, like, Linda made, what do you call it, cheesecake. And
there was a tiramisu. There were carrot cakes.
There was all sorts of good stuff.
An awesome lemon cake with some kind of cream, and it was from your the same folks there. And, boy, was it good.
Cakes shaped like radio turntables and old-fashioned radio.
Oh, that Casey and our cake was terrific.
Oh, boy, was that great.
Yeah, it had the microphone on top.
Yeah,
and
the
then
microphone cake.
There was one shaped like a purse. Yeah. It was a little pink purse with a black handle. I just was dying to know if the handle was edible. I forgot to ask whoever got it. One lady, she bought one. It had it was like an ocean, and it had a couple little sandals on the top. She's like, I'm putting this in the freezer till my kids come this summer. See, so if you're not a big cake eater, you could have saved it.
Yeah. Who made the cake called Sex in a Pan?
I don't know. I looked at that. I was all, that is either going to go really fast, or it's going to be like, don't pick that one.
It's like half of them were horrified.
Yeah, it was kind of funny, though. I don't even know what was in it. I read that. And I blanked out. it's called a what?
Moving along. Nothing to see here, folks.
Somebody said, what's with that cake called Sex in a Party? I'm like,
Sex in
a Pan. I think
it's
a pan. but let's not nitpick. It was pretty funny. Oh, my gosh. So, once a year. So
we
paid the bill on the radio, which is awesome. So we can bring you some actual quality programming, which...
No, but it was a great time for all. I think everybody had a good time.
Everybody did have a good time.
Yeah.
So, every now and then the little voice tells you to do something, you know, in the back of your head. And sometimes you pay attention and sometimes you don't. Well, this morning I had that nagging, I better call our guest today and just make sure he remembered. That was really important since his assistant didn't really actually give him the message.
Yeah, when you call somebody and the first words out of their mouth are,
"Who are you?
Who are you again?" Uh-oh.
He had never heard of the whole thing. I was like,
now, should we tease all the listeners and tell them Senator Cruz is coming on this morning?
I think, didn't you do that in the promo?
I did.
Yeah.
But several people thought it was the Senator Cruz from Texas.
Senator Cruz with a C. This is Senator Cruz with a K. And he would be a Republican from the 1st District out of Roseburg, Oregon. I really actually don't know how long he's been in the legislature, but we have a lot of people who listen to this program who live up in that area. They have very similar land use issues. They have better gun... I guess they have open carry up there, so apparently their gun rights are a lot better. We need to invite them to the next fundraiser. Come to California, win a gun, and then take it back to Oregon. You can wave it around.
Yeah, check your piece at the door, though.
And so he's got a tagline on his website that I thought, this is for all of our folks. It says here, I am here to help make the following a reality. State government should address only the legitimate needs of the people of Oregon in a cost-effective manner so Oregonians can have the freedom and personal resources necessary to run their own lives. It's like, yes.
He is an outsider.
I know. He's a one percenter.
Yes, he is a one percenter in his own state.
We're hoping that we can...
How do you get elected with an attitude like that?
We're hoping we can get some kind of a shot. Maybe you're going to turn that into a vaccine. Now, that's a vaccine I'd get. So, obviously most people that we all know think that same way. And before we get rolling here, we ought to actually tell people you can... you can find us online at wethepeopleradio.us. Robert has a page up for us this morning that will link you to the senator's website and some different videos that he has done. Myriad of topics, actually, for today's show. And we're always talking something about, limited government, fiscal responsibility, that kind of thing, constitutional issues. If you have ideas for programming, you've read a great book lately, you heard an interview on the radio, the beauty of radio is they don't have to be here. So shoot us that information. It's all on the site, wethepeopleradio.us.
And you can get on the chat room.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. It's daylight savings time. I'm going to forget about a lot of things today.
If you can't get in on the dial-up line, get on the chat line, ask a question. You never know. We might be paying attention enough to actually ask the question for you.
Yes, we'd be happy to. And so we tend to be sort of a coffee and listening program, but if you'd like to call in, it is 530-605-4567. And this show is courtesy of Mark Johnson, a constituent up there in Oregon, who said, you need to get a hold of our senator and get him on the line. So we've done that. So, Senator Cruz, are you hiding in there somewhere?
I'm right here.
Right on. We have great connection, which is terrific. So we read him your little clip off the website where you think that that people need to have the freedom and personal resources necessary to run their own lives.
Strange concept.
What a great idea. Is there any way you could bottle that or
Well, you know, what's frustrating for me and actually, you know, a lot of my constituents keep bringing up the idea of we need to go back and create the state of Jefferson, which would be absolutely outstanding, but that probably won't happen. You know, it's just trying to get people engaged and trying to get people to understand what really is at stake at this point in time in our country, because we're losing our freedoms and we're losing what this country was founded on, and it's very depressing and very scary, and but it's also a battle I don't think we can afford to not be involved in.
Yeah, I would totally agree. And, you know, we have a lot of people, obviously, California isn't the mecca that people want to come to. It's the one they'd like to be from. and, you know, they're dispersing to parts around the country. And, you know, a lot of the feedback is, oh, my gosh, you know, some of this stuff is here, too. So,
oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I'm not going to say anything bad about California. My son lives
okay.
in Southern California, and he's doing very well down there. And California has done some very great things and had some very great people in our history. I'm a rock and roller, so there's a lot of rock and roll from California. But I was trying to think as I was driving home to do this show of what outstanding has come out of California since Ronald Reagan, and I'm having a hard time coming up with something.
Yeah. Well, you know, the resurgence of Jerry Brown, you know, part two is obviously, you know, a high point for all of us.
Yeah, but you got to give him a break. We are going to have a part three, so, you know, we'll get it all right then.
Mind-blowing.
Well, you know, you had Jerry Brown part two. We have John Kitzhaber part two, so it's kind of we're on the same track, I guess. So.
Oh, your guy just doesn't have a 60s nickname like Moonbeam, or does he?
No, he doesn't. But he's got a girlfriend that we are told to call his first lady, who has made her she made her fortune in alternative energy, which it means that she's been sponging off the government. And of course, John Kitzhaber, 2 years ago at the State of the Union address, was actually in the president's box.
He is an insider.
He had promised Obama that Oregon would be the first state to fully implement Obamacare.
Whoopsie. he's got some splaining to do, doesn't he?
Yeah, it ain't working out quite all that well at this point in time.
Because no, don't you have, one guy, signed up?
Huh?
Isn't there just one person? Or is it still zero?
Well, no. You know, the governor just put out a press release about how wonderful it was that there's now been 230,000 people sign up. But the majority of them were for the Medicaid expansion program, which is a bill that any state that did the expansion, and I believe California did it as well.
I'm positive we drank that Kool-Aid, too.
Yeah, and about 5 years out, the bill comes due on the state, and nobody knows how we're going to pay it.
So,
but you could have had that without the Obamacare part of it. So
yeah, but Senator, don't be a killjoy. It's 5 years away.
I know. You know. But that's what the feds do, is they say, if you do this program, we'll pay for it for a couple of years. And everybody goes, oh, great, free money. Number one, it's not free. It's our money to start with anyway.
Exactly.
Well, that's probably not quite true, because the money that's paying for this isn't coming out of tax dollars. It's just the increase in the national debt. So, you know, that's a bill that our grandchildren will have to pay.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it, too, because you're right. It's not coming out of the taxes.
It's a deferred payment. Which means it's not really a payment because it has another name in front of it.
Yeah, we just need it for a couple more years and then we'll start paying it back.
But you know, it's good for everybody, and you know, we can all afford it because obviously out here in the West, we're doing such a good job managing our resources. Everybody is really flush. You know, you've got as many trees just loitering around as we do.
We do, and the guy, our governor went to Grants Pass Friday for a big thing because the last mill in Josephine County here in Oregon shut down about 6 months ago.
Yeah,
and it's called Rough and Ready, and it's a mill in an area that is totally surrounded by trees. And they shut down not because they didn't have market. They shut down because they couldn't get any trees. And so now the feds have come in and the governor's come in and say, well, if you do all this green stuff, we'll give you all this money so you can reopen. Now, it's going to be interesting because they're going to have to do a whole bunch of retrofit and you get into all this carbon BS, by the way. You know,
we love the carbon rules.
Yeah. Here's an interesting fact that, number one, the people that believe in this global warming and all this other hocus pocus, you're never going to convince them of anything else. But I did, because I do due diligence, I look at both sides of issues, and you remember when Al Gore came out with his movie, An Inconvenient Truth, it's been several years ago, to prove global warming, and the basic thing he did to prove, from his perspective, that the increase in carbon in the atmosphere was the cause of global warming, and he was using ice core samples from the Antarctic. He came really close to getting it right. But he made a very compelling case in his movie, but the reality, the real science is that the relationship was just reversed. And what really happens is when the planet warms up, there is increased carbon in the atmosphere. So it's a result of global warming, not a cause of it. But I guess that's irrelevant due to the fact that Al Gore has made hundreds of million of dollars off carbon credits, hasn't he?
That's been really lucrative. Hey, does he know the wife of your governor?
They run in a pretty tight circle.
I was going to say, they should be. Yeah. They should be.
By the way, she's not the governor's wife; just a girlfriend.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Oh.
Yeah, when John was governor before, and I served with him
kind of
before too. I've been doing this for a while. He got married right after he was elected as governor. And he was married to that lady for 8 years, and as soon as he was done being governor, they got divorced. now he's picked up Sylvia shortly before he ran again. So I guess for our governor, the lifespan of a relationship is however long he's governor. So.
Wow. Hey, do you guys have, somebody asked here in the chat room what the division is between the Democrats and the Republicans in the Oregon legislature?
In the Senate, the Senate is 16-14 Democrat edge. The House currently, I believe, is 34-26 Democrat edge. At this point in time, the Democrats control the whole process, which is the difference when Kitzhaber was governor before, the Republicans controlled both chambers of the legislature, and so we were actually able to stop a lot of stuff and actually get some good stuff in. This time around, for the last decade, the Democrats have had total control, and there have been times when it seemed like our only purpose of being there was to give them a quorum to do the bad stuff they wanted to do. But we actually have hopes, at least on the Senate side, that we can change that equation in November.
That is, do you guys have some hope of that?
We actually do. I mean, 16-14 is really close. And actually, the Senate race in the Southern Oregon area, which is Medford, Ashland, that sort of thing. We think we can take that seat from the Democrats. It should be a Republican seat, and which would make it 15-15, and then all we have to do is pick up one more, and we think we have a real shot at that, but I really don't want to say at this point in time, because the filing deadline for running for office is Tuesday, and we'll see where all the cards are on the table at that point.
What I want to know, Senator, is when are you guys going to get on the bandwagon and get your sales tax approved? Because you're really making us look bad down here.
I'm sure they're working on it.
The governor supposedly is working on this restructuring of the tax system, and nobody knows what it is because he doesn't tell us. But a sales tax has been, over the course of years, has been put before the people of the state of Oregon 14 times and has been rejected 14 times.
And that is just amazing to me that they're able to keep those
hold that back.
Wolves at the door. I mean, just keep them out. I'd like to know how you do it, because we need some of that here.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's quite simple. You get all the people on the left that don't pay any income taxes, because all their money comes from the government. If we institute a sales tax, then they have to pay something. Yeah, okay?
That's true.
The way it is now, it's only people that work for a living that are paying taxes. So, you know, so the left side probably likes it the way it is, wouldn't you think?
Yeah.
It doesn't give them very much to give away to the folks that don't work, though. I mean, it kind of ties their purse strings a little bit.
Do you have the massive welfare deal like we do here?
Yeah.
So yours is like Portland is really your liberal mecca, huh?
Yeah, we call Portland Moscow on the Willamette. So which Willamette's the river that runs through Portland. So yeah, and you know, I mean, and part of our problem, I mean, Oregon is kind of like the rest of the country. If you go county by county, you would see the majority of the United States is red. Where it's blue is in the big cities on the East Coast and the big cities on the West Coast. And so, but in the case of Oregon, we have three counties in the Portland area that are half the state's population. And so we're kind of outgunned on a lot of things. It's tough to get a Republican elected, and by the way, when they did the last redistricting, it was, you know, with total Democrat control, they did a lot of gerrymandering to make sure that Democrats had safe seats.
Interesting. You know, it's funny. It doesn't matter what state you go to; things don't really change that much. We better take a quick break, and when we come back, at some point in this conversation, feel free to add it whenever you like. But we're dying to hear about your wolf issue, because California is flirting with destroying our state as well. And so we have a lot of people who say it's working out well in Oregon, but we know better. And now we're going to hear it from the horse's mouth, I guess, as they say. Lots of problems there. So, we are speaking with Senator Jeff Cruz from Oregon, out of Roseburg there. And we'll be back with you here on We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. And that's mostly all. We're airing here at KCNR, 1460 AM. And by the way, if you haven't changed your clocks yet, it's 7:30. Surprise! Oh, it's 8:30. We haven't changed our clocks yet. Good Lord.
Oh. Gotcha.
Damn radio station.
Take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Lost in the crowd, and I'm hungry like the wolves. Traveling in discord and rhyme. I'm on the hunt, I'm after you.
You're joining.
About Wolf.
You're actually rejoining We the People Radio here on KCNR, and we're with Senator Jeff Cruz from Oregon, and...
And through the miracle of technology, it's now 8:30.
Yeah, we just ran ahead a whole hour.
Wow, we're really screwed up this morning.
I lost an hour,
you lost a year.
You lost half the chat pack, too. I think they're all still in bed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, Senator, talk to us about your fantastic Wolf program up there, because I'm trying to know how that's all working out for you folks up there.
Our Wolf program? Well, we're hoping that they just travel on through and go down to you guys.
Yeah, I kind of thought there was something like that going on.
Yeah. It's at this point in time, here's the reality. If you're an Eastern Oregon rancher and you have a wolf that is endangering your animals, we kind of have the three S's: shoot, shovel, and shut up. So it's still evolving. We are working really hard to try to get jurisdiction away from the feds at this point in time. And it's amazing the way the federal government looks at species. Because they don't look just at where these animals are, they look at where they think they should be. And because we had no wolves in Oregon, and suddenly, they look at the fact that Eastern Oregon was part of their historic range, and so they needed to be reintroduced. And we're trying to put as many brakes on that as we can, but it's tough to fight the feds.
Well, I'll tell you what, that sounds so familiar, because that's what they're saying down here, is this was all their natural habitat. And, you know, I was just recently at a big convention down in Las Vegas, and I had the opportunity to talk to a fella from Southern California, and something came up about the wolves. I'm sure I accidentally mentioned it, but...
Accidentally baited him.
Yeah, well, and he was just shocked that we were on the other side of the fence on this whole wolf issue, because really there's plenty of room for wolves, and he just didn't understand what the whole issue was with having wolves, and you know there's plenty of room for all them, and heck, if they eat all the deer and the elk and everything, there's probably too many of them anyway, and once they once they eat them all, won't they just, you know, go somewhere where there's more, and then they'll just leave? I mean, the stupidity that the argument that he was giving me on this, I couldn't even handle it. It was unbelievable. And that's what we're up against, is just this lack, you know, a huge lack of information in the major voting areas about how these wolves are going to just decimate the wildlife if they're allowed to be brought in.
Well, and we've got similar issues with bears and cougars, and and we're to the point now where, because cougars are solitary hunters, as are bears, and we have gotten to the point where they're starting to encroach on where people actually are. In fact, in my county, we have had cougar sightings in playgrounds of grade schools. I'm not sure that's really what we should be after, but trying to get to population control is a real tough one. But there are a lot of species, and the one that has me the greatest, most concern right now is this endangered bird called the marbled murrelet, which is, at least in the coastal part of the state, our state and yours as well, threatening the ability to harvest any trees at all, because there's no real science. And they've had some environmental bird watchers go out there, and the assumption they are making is if they see a bird flying sub-canopy, that means there must be a nest somewhere close, and so they can block off like 120 acres from harvest. I mean, this is scary stuff.
Oh, that's exactly what they pulled with the spotted owl, and look what it's done to California.
Well, there was one, they had one where they found a snake in the road. Where was that? We had somebody on the radio, gosh, it's been a year or two ago, and they found this snake in the road, and a truck driver was driving through, and he saw this snake and thought, wow, that's a weird looking snake. So he got out, and he was dead, and he took it and he threw it in the back of his truck and going along, and he pulls up at this cafe and he's eating breakfast, and he looks over and there's this game warden guy, and he goes, hey, you know, come on out here. I want to see if you can identify this thing for me. It's a really cool looking snake. And so the guy's like, comes out, looks at it, you know, hey, where did that come from? Oh, I found it back there on the road. Boom, endangered habitat, blah, blah, blah. And so it ruins everyone's lives, right? And they get down to into the weeds on how this started. It was a snake somebody picked up in the road.
Yeah. Well, if you remember that little kangaroo mouse in Southern California that they basically said it was an endangered habitat, and so they couldn't do anything, and the hills north of L.A. Have just done nothing but burn since then because they can't manage the resources.
Exactly.
So it goes everywhere.
No. Well, you know, you mentioned the cougars. We had a cougar here not too long ago, I think it was just last summer, that was roaming around in a parking lot at the mall in Chico. You know, that's just where you want a wild lion running around in a mall. And, you know, unfortunately, that's what it's going to take if they bring these wolves in. The wolves are going to have to actually, you know, harm somebody. And you know, I'm not even sure that's going to be enough to slow down their agenda. It's just madness.
We've actually considered trying to capture some cougars and release them in the parks in the Portland area. See if that changes
anybody's
mind. Yeah, see, we're eyeing Golden Gate Park. Actually, it seems like it needs to have some more wildlife.
I'm sure at one time that had to be natural habitat for cougars.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, I'm sure it did, but yeah. You know. You get these city people and, you know, cougars, oh, they're just cute little kitties. Well, no, they're not.
No.
They're vicious animals and, you know, and I have nothing against cougars. I just don't want cougars where I am, pure and simple. So, what we've got with the cougars right now, when you talk about if they'll eat all the deer and elk, they're doing that. You know, our deer and elk population has dwindled massively, and it's mostly because of the increase in the number of predators. We're out of balance, and we don't seem to be able to get back to a point where we can get in balance. So,
well, we have such a I know you have the exact same problem that we do because so much of it comes from the federal side. They provide money to these agencies within the states, and then, you know, they fund all the scientists through grants. So at the end of the day, everyone who's supposed to be creating science is really working for the government. You know, no vested interest in telling the truth.
With a specific agenda. Now, Idaho had an interesting solution that's partially worked, and they're dealing with the EPA. They basically said, okay, you think this is the way it should be done? You go ahead and do it. Well, the EPA doesn't have the resources to actually do the management. If the states would say no to the EPA, they become powerless. But nobody says no to them. Well, Idaho did. And so based on that, guess what? Their farmers still have water to grow potatoes. What a concept.
Well, nobody wants to jeopardize that federal money, because what they hold over your head is if you don't, you know, participate in their wolf program or their mountain lion program, the next thing you know, your federal highway funds are going to get held up. And, you know, that's the danger, I think, when we start taking money from the feds. Now they have a pretty good sized club to hold over your head with all the other agencies' money.
But so, see, then the agencies have to turn around and fundraise to keep the program going. So,
which means
right.
Lay on the fines and fees.
There are disconnects in those funding streams that a lot of people don't recognize. I mean, for example, there have been some states who have said no to No Child Left Behind, for example. That has not jeopardized any of their school lunch programs or any of those other things. All it does is jeopardize No Child Left Behind. And I did some research on that, by the way, and I think every state would find that the amount of money you get for compliance with No Child Left Behind or whatever Obama's new version is, it actually costs the state more than the federal government for compliance than the federal government gives us. So, you know, we tend to blindly chase federal dollars without actually doing the math and doing due diligence in accounting, because a lot of the federal money, at best, is a wash. We don't end up better for it.
No, and that's a great point, you know, because they always provide all the funding up front for, like you say, the first year or two or five, and then after that it's our ball to carry, and I think that's where we end up in big trouble.
I'd be curious. We have to take a really quick break, but I would be curious when we come back, what exactly, if you have a number, you know, of one of those programs, I don't know if the Medicaid or Medicare or whatever it is program is a good example, but you know, how much money comes in from the feds, and then what's that turnaround and boomerang to the state? Because I actually don't know those numbers, but you always hear that, and I guess maybe we should get the numbers out to people if they're actually available. So you are listening to We the People Radio. We're here online with Senator Jeff Cruz out of Oregon, and talking about all things about the government, you know, the usual, and issues facing them are very much facing Northern California, and if it hasn't come to a state that you live in, oh, it'll be there soon. We're invasive. We're not happy unless everyone is suffering. So you might as well get smart so you can fight back now. Anyway, we are here on KCNR 1460 AM. We'll be back with you in 2 minutes.
Boys and girls, take warning. If you go near the lake, keep your eyes wide open and look for a sneaky snake. Now maybe you won't see him, maybe you won't hear, but he'll sneak up behind you and drink all of your root beer.
Ow! Who said I see walking in these woods? Why, it's Little Red Riding Hood. Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. We sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want. Listen to me.
You can't have too much Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
I don't think.
That's just a great song. Oh my gosh, except for the fact they're talking about our least favorite topic. I kid you not, man, this wolf management plan that they're trying to come up with in California is like nutty town. All the ag people are like, this is not going to work out for us. And the environment, oh, by the way, the Center for Biological Diversity, you might enjoy this little news flash for you up there. They think that 1,400 wolves in Oregon is completely, that would actually be the optimum number. That's exactly what.
You know, in our legislative session just ended Friday, and so yesterday I was, because I'm a farmer in the real world, yesterday I spent the day fertilizing alfalfa, and, you know, all these environmentalists, none of them actually do anything. You know, I'm a farmer, I'm third generation on a family farm. My nephew's fourth generation. You know, we've had our farm for 90 years. If we weren't environmentalists, we wouldn't still be in business. You know, we take care of the environment. It's our bread and butter, you know, and that's the way it is with all farmers and all loggers is, you know, we're the ones that treasure the environment and take care of it. You know, these other people don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Because they live in apartments. They live in apartments in the city. you know?
Yes, yes. Well, and they have a tomato plant in their window, and it's organic, so isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. No, so, I was going to say, yeah, they go to the store for that. I mean, honestly, you know, you were always hearing the man on the street interviews, you know, where does beef come from, you know, that kind of thing. And they just, people don't know. Like, I sit in these meetings, and they talk about how, like, the wolves are only going to eat the sick animals. It's like, really? That's like you go to the store and you only buy the out-of-date product and the brown lettuce. I mean, it's just stupid on the face of it, you know?
It's stupid on the face of it, you know, and in reality, predators usually pick out the weak of the herd. There's no question about that. But when there's more predators than there is herd, they go after the strong, too, because they have no choice.
Absolutely.
Oh, no, not according to my buddy down in L.A.
Steve.
Steve, this is for you, buddy. Wolves don't eat buffalo. Buffalo are too big and strong to be bothered by a wolf.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, did you know that?
You know, he is right. An individual wolf won't take on a buffalo, but a pack of wolves will. That's the way they hunt.
Yep, and that's exactly how they hunt, and that's exactly what they do.
Yeah.
They're very good at it.
It's hilarious, you know, these guys from L.A. So, you know, we could never put this up to a vote, neither could you, because it would never, you know, would never fly. Oh, the other thing I learned, too, you know, the feds are looking to delist the wolf in all 50 states, right? So they're taking public comment, I think, till the end of March. But for all those of you that are, you know, lubing up your fingers to write them a nice note on your public comment, they were very candid. Fish and Wildlife was very candid at the meeting a couple weeks ago, and they said, actually, we're going to get probably a million comments, and we're not looking at anything that isn't new scientific evidence.
Well,
I'm sorry, but how many people in the public have new scientific evidence? None of them.
No.
So their public comment is pretty much like, yeah, thanks a lot, delete.
No, absolutely. You know, they have to go out for public comment and all this stuff, but they do that at that point in time. The decision's already been made. That's just dog and pony show stuff.
Yeah.
So they really don't care what the public has to say.
No, public comments like, yeah, that's real nice. Thank God it's electronic and we don't have to process the paper. We can just delete it right here on our screen. So let's see. We've got like 30 seconds here. But, you know, next hour, just to kind of give people a heads up, we're Senator Cruz is our hostage for the next hour because there's so much to talk about, darn it. And we need intel from you on illegal immigrants. People are curious what's going on in the Oregon world about illegal immigrants. And we would like to know more about your Obamacare situation because we do hear a lot about it.
And also, anybody out there that wants to get in on the conversation, 530-605-4567. We're getting some great questions in the chat room. And
find that at wethepeopleradio.us.
Exactly.
Right,
give us a call.
Hour number two of We the People next here on KCNR Shasta Redding. Correct time is 9 o'clock.
Slow. It's a whole time change thing. It's not quite caught up with us.
Yeah, but the accurate time now is 9:05. So I got it wrong once. I got it right once. You get a 50-50 shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
we're back. We're back and on the right time zone.
Why are we still doing daylight savings time? I mean, honestly,
ridiculous.
I just don't even.
Well, I figured out last night we are now on daylight savings time for 8 months out of the year, and we're only on standard time for 4 months.
So this is fake time?
So like why
we were on real time?
We were on standard time until this morning, yes.
Yeah. So. Why even change?
I mean, why?
This is the one where you want to. So now we're off from. It's Arizona that doesn't play, right? Didn't they opt out?
Arizona. Well, Arizona is on the same time we are now.
Now, right.
Because they're still on standard time.
Oh, for Lord's
sake. But they're in a
mountain
time zone.
How ridiculous. You know, back in the day.
But if you're going to have it 8 months out of the year, why not just have it year round?
Let's just do it. You know, back in the day, you know, they didn't even. It took them, you know, hours, and they had to ride by horseback, and they didn't care about the time zone. Must have been so much easier in a way. And no email, no text messages, but no radio, so that would have been a drag.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, I solved my problem. I'd rather stay here. Okay, so what? So we're chatting with Oregon State Senator Jeff Cruz. So it was really fun, actually, Senator. It was super fun saying all week that we had Senator Cruz on the radio. Because, you know what, that's just fun for everybody. And you have not
It is.
And you have not disappointed because, you know, we're totally using the sigh from the last hour. We're going to use it in one of our ads. Sometimes the problems are just too big, and then we'll have you going, that was awesome.
There have been times when people have confused me with the other Senator Cruz, and if I had to be compared with anybody in Congress, I have no problem with that one.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it's way better than, you know, your name happens to be, you know, Harry Reid or something. You're like,
you're killing me.
You're like, no, I'm the good Harry Reid. Yeah, that's never happening. It's funny, there's another Erin Ryan in my line of work, and she's a lefty. So every now and then I get emails, you know, about some stupid environmental thing, and like, hey, I haven't talked to you in a long time. It's like, oh, God. It's her. She's back. But, all right, so up in what?
Our comrade Ann is joining us.
Oh, I thought maybe there was a fire or something. I caught this flurry of activity going on over there, but I was over there. I'm like, what, are you landing a plane?
No, I was just trying to get your attention.
I know. Well, it worked. It was good. Yeah, you did
we
good.
We have landed successfully.
It's like, what's happening?
Stop calling me Shirley.
Well, I think Ann had a little story about an encounter she had. Ann, are you with us?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning.
We're all concerned about this wolf business, which we should be concerned about, and the mountain lions, the spotted owl, and all that. I remembered something that happened to me with a bunch of my girlfriends. Oh gosh, it's been now probably about 18 years ago, and we used to do quite a bit of horse packing, and we went up into the Marble Mountains, and we had our camp set up, follow all the rules, et cetera, and just having a good time. And it was, probably about 6 in the evening, and this beleaguered hiker wandered into our camp, a woman with her Eddie Bauer shorts on,
and hiking
stick.
And
she had all the latest equipment and barely had broken her boots in, and she looked at us, and she was looked like she was about ready to start crying, and said, "Oh, can you tell me anywhere where I might find a place to put my sleeping bag where I won't be laying it in a pile of cow flop?" And we all looked at her like, "Oh my gosh, where are you from?" And because there's range. Well, there used to be range cattle out there back then. I don't know what they have now, but. We all said, "Well, where are you from?" She said, "San Francisco." And we said, "Well, yeah, we can think of one place for sure."
And, where was that?
You know, why don't you just, we'll show you where the trail is, and why don't you try, you could probably get partway down tonight, and then get in your car and go home, and I'm sure you'll find a place with no cow flop as soon as you get back there. You'll find other stuff, but you
won't. I'm surprised she knew what it was. I'm surprised she knew what it was.
Yeah, so was I. We were hoping she'd find a nice fresh one. But anyway, I just had to share that. You know, that's the mentality.
Yeah,
and,
it is.
And that's one of the reasons where they've been so sneaky and secretive, weaseling all this stuff through, like you guys know. But, you know, that's the mentality. I think maybe we should allow the wolves to come back in. You know, give them a temporary visa, or and we'll all stay out of the woods for a while.
Yeah, we'll give them all. We'll require that all the people who think it's a good idea go spend a few nights out there
in the cow flop.
Exactly. Yeah. See how it works out for them.
Yes. Anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, and she did not appreciate our recommendation or our advice.
You know, it's kind of funny. She's probably down there right now talking about those rotten people up there in Northern California.
Yeah. Oh, we did. We actually did tell her she could stay in our camp that night, but she was not allowed in any of our tents.
Oh, that takes the fun out
of
it.
Did you tell her she had to eat meat?
Okay, I'm going to sign off, you guys.
Thanks, comrade.
You know, unfortunately, okay, the only contact a lot of those people have with wildlife is in a zoo, and they walk up to the little railing, and they look at the cute little animals. And
they look
and
so fuzzy.
They look so fuzzy, and they just wish they could get closer and pet them. And they translate that to the wild animals that are out there. And, you know, I'll tell you a quick story. I had some folks that were up in the mountains that actually caught a couple of baby mountain lions. The mother had been hit by a car, and a couple of days later, the babies came wandering down out of the hills, and they were able to throw a blanket over them, and they built a cage and put them in this cage. Now, these babies were, I don't know, maybe 4 pounds, and they weren't very big. So my dad took us up to see these baby cougars, and I thought, wow, that'll be fun. Yeah, they had them in a cage, and the way they fed them was they put a chicken on the end of about a 10-foot pole, and when they saw you approaching the cage, they went to the far end of the cage and got in like a pounce position, and when they shoved it through the wire, they attacked that like it was their last meal. And I guarantee you, those two little cute little kittens, if you'd have walked in that cage, would have ripped you to shreds.
It was were they?
Oh, they were like, I don't know, the size of a large, about twice the size of a house cat. I mean, they were small. But even at that age, they were the most vicious animals I'd ever seen in my life. And I thought, how do they get so mean when they're so little? Where do they learn that? And that's... That's being in the wild.
Your dad was smart. Some nice early environmental education.
Oh yeah. So they're nothing to mess around with, I guess.
Hey, so Senator, just so you know, kind of the kind of people that we are. Comrade Ann, who was on here a little bit ago, she attended one of the wolf meetings, one of the recent ones with Fish and Game here, and all the environmental crowd wearing a full length mink coat.
Good for her.
We play hard here. Anne plays harder, man. She's always got just a little bit more. You gotta love it. Hey, so,
my kind of people.
Exactly. So, you know, I guess since we're kind of headed that direction, let's veer onto gun rights, actually. Somebody had put a post here a while back on the chat room that's already scrolled away from me. But that you were instrumental in stopping some sort of gun situation that was going on up there.
We have to fight that every year. And, in fact, Senator Pruzanski from Eugene is the chief advocate for this every session. And basically what they attempted to do this time, they wanted to require background checks on all private sales, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, they had a huge hearing. They even brought Mark Kelly in from Arizona. And you know, what happened to Gabby was tragic, you know, Mark's wife down there. But the interesting part was that the shooter in that case had passed the background check, amazingly enough. We looked at all of the incidents, Sandy Hook, all of these big ones, and what we discovered was that the shooters either had passed background checks or they had stolen the gun. And so, you know, to say that requiring background checks on all private transactions is anything short of gun registration is an absolute lie. And so we geared up for it, and we were ready to go to war. And at the end of the day, they chose not to move the bill. And I mean, I even bought a gun from another senator and went through the private background check system. And number one, the budget they put on this thing, how much it would cost, was an absolute joke compared to what it would have cost. And but the fact is, you know, they are never going to quit trying to screw with our Second Amendment rights. And so it's a battle we have to take on every time. And over the last few years, we've been pretty much successful in stopping it.
Well, good. It's always, I tell you what, it's one of those things that we're always clinging to by a fingernail. Hey, I guess now that we're back, we've got our actual schedule back together. We need to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back. We have Howard on the line holding, so Howard, you're our hostage for 2 minutes. But we thank our advertisers. We'll be back with Senator Jeff Cruz out of Oregon here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken and watch them feathers fly. Sick 'em on a chicken. Sick 'em on a chicken. Break out the butter and the flour ready to fry.
Oh, yeah.
Bob, you've got more frightening music at your fingertips. Who is that?
That is the Zac Brown Band.
Oh, my God. I need to get out more.
That's great. Hey, we are on the line with Senator Jeff Cruz out of Oregon, and we're talking about a whole host of issues that they're having up there.
Missed the chicken part, you'll have to listen to the archive.
Yeah, you'll have to pick that up later. But, hey, we've got Howard on the line, wants to ask a question or has a quick comment. You're on, Howard. Go.
Okay, let me get the radio off because I didn't hear anything on the phone. Good morning.
Hi.
Aaron, I know you. That's fine because the radio is a great tool. My comment is, being on the Shasta County Coordination Committee, I don't understand why we can't spread this word to a lot of counties that are dealing with wolves all over the country. And I know it's a hard, tough process, but maybe you could just address that a little bit because you understand the process. I know our congressional representative, Doug LaMalfa, is aware of what's going on. And there you go. I don't know. I've just been thinking about this because I do not want wolves in California.
Yeah.
So I'll let you maybe, if you so choose, discuss it just a little bit with the senator in Oregon.
All right. We'll dig in on that one. Thanks, Howard.
Thanks for calling, Howard.
Hey, so, Senator, is the process of coordination, is that something you guys utilize up there at all or you are familiar with?
I think we do things a little differently up here. The counties are involved to a degree, but mostly it's our Department of Fish and Wildlife, which, if I was governor, I would fire everybody there and hire some real people, but that's a whole other subject. What this really comes down to is, the fact that, we need to regain control. I'm going to throw two things out. What we have is a lot of conservatives and a lot of Republicans in this nation who have given up or who for some reason become kind of single issue sorts of people. And, in the last presidential election, Barack Obama won by 3 million votes. There were over 4 million registered Republicans who did not vote. Now, I'm assuming some of the fundamental Christian folks may have chosen not to vote because they didn't want to vote for a Mormon. But what they need to understand is by not voting for a Mormon, they elected a Muslim. Okay? And so you really need to look at things. If we look in the state of Oregon, John Kitzhaber in his last election won by 40,000 votes, and there were 60,000 registered Republicans who didn't vote. The reality of it is, I think that conservatives can win, but the base has to get out, and too many people have given up, and quite honestly, we can't afford for them to give up. They need to get reengaged.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting because we see that a lot. We see it in not so much local elections. People will oftentimes be part of that, but the federal stuff, they really nitpick. You know, if it isn't the perfect candidate, then they're not gonna vote. And at the end of the day, I mean, sometimes our choice is Nancy Pelosi or John Boehner. I mean, not probably somebody anybody would throw down for, but you have to actually make the choice and realize those are the choices at the moment.
Well, and even if you consider it to be the lesser of the evils, the lesser of the evil is a better choice than the greater evil. And you know, I mean, the presidential campaign was incredibly frustrating for me. I think Mitt Romney, on most things was probably a pretty good choice. He wouldn't have been my choice. Hopefully the Republicans come up with somebody who can speak for the conservative voice. My problem right now with Washington, D.C. is the Republicans and Democrats back there all sound the same to me, and I wish the Republican Party would understand what they're supposed to be. That would help all of us.
Yeah, instead of going Democrat light. Well,
yeah.
Now, up where you are, one of the things we didn't get to was immigration. Somebody had a question on, you know, what do you guys have all the sanctuary cities and all that razzle dazzle like we do down here?
We have some of that. The big battle we had on immigration this time was that the legislative assembly passed that law. Basically, the law we passed was to give illegal immigrants driver's cards so they could drive legally in the state. Well, that card is an ID for virtually everything. And not a lot of people like that. And so we have an initiative process up here. And so they went out and gathered the signatures and they put the issue on the ballot. Well, the Legislative Assembly, the House side, in their infinite wisdom decided that we needed to pass a law so that, because what happens is, you know, if there's a challenge to the ballot title or whatever, it goes to the Supreme Court and it's decided there. But the Democrats up here decided that wasn't good enough. They wanted to give the Legislative Assembly the ability to rewrite ballot titles so that it fit their agenda. And that actually passed in the House, and we were able to kill it in the Senate. So at least at this point in time, if the people have an issue they want to put on the ballot, we're still going to let them do it. But, and that was a big fight, huge fight, but at the end of the day, we won.
That's awesome. And so what swayed, since they have, you know, a majority in your Senate, what swayed the people who voted with you?
Well, what swayed them was the fact that what we were doing was taking away a fundamental right of the people. You know, at the end of the day, the arguments I made to my colleagues, I said, this isn't about the merits of the ballot measure. It's about protecting the rights of the people to bring issues forward. And that's really what won.
Geez, that's great. You know, we'd like to see some of that go on here. Like, oh, I don't know, we'd like to apply that to, say, high-speed rail. You know? It's like, you know, guys, this is going to steal property from citizens and bankrupt us and all sorts of stuff. So we would like you to pull out your little common sense button and push it.
Well, and high-speed or rail is a big issue up here. They've been trying to push for a new bridge over the Columbia River between Oregon and Washington. There are about three options that are really good, which would be for another bridge to deal with the traffic. But what they came down to was just to replace the current bridge and to do that quite simply so that we can have trains going from Portland to Seattle. Nobody wants it except those who think that mass transit is the way to go. And quite honestly, in our part of the world, the best mass transit is buses, not trains. We don't have the density of population to make trains work.
Well, we don't either. You know, between Modesto and whatever other, I mean, it was just ridiculous. Their whole plan's ridiculous. Hey, somebody's got a question in here too. They'd like to know what the unemployment rate is in Oregon.
The unemployment. Well, do you want the official one or the real one?
No, the real one, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. The official one is around 7.5%. The real one is probably closer to 15%, and in Southern Oregon, in most counties, it's over 20%. You can't go by the numbers you get from the government because they don't include those people who are no longer working or have exhausted all their benefits. So once they're off the books, they aren't considered unemployed anymore, even though they are.
Yeah, ours just officially, according to government, went ticked up over 10%. So I think realistically, you could probably double that.
Yeah, yeah. But supposedly, you know, Obama's been saying for how many years that we're out of the recession.
Yeah,
I sure haven't seen any of that. So
yeah, so far it's working out great.
yeah, it is. You know, and his budget is so wonderful this time. He doesn't have $1 trillion in debt in the budget, additional debt. He's only got $700 million. So boy, he's being a fiscal conservative.
Boy, he's reeling it in, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Sharpening his pencil, as they say.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Well. So, you know, back to the Obamacare thing that we sort of made fun of and, you know, moved on. But up there, if you don't have people actually signing up for this thing, it's not really benefiting anybody. Is your governor still behind it and are you guys still pushing it?
He's 100% behind it, and they're making all kinds of excuses. Oregon was one of the original beta sites for IT development, and the federal government gave Oregon to develop their exchange $300 million, okay, a gift from the federal government, and it still doesn't work. In fact, it's maybe one of the worst performing ones in the nation. And so the response of the federal government was to give Oregon more money. And at this point in time, you know, you still can't go online and in any reasonable fashion get signed up. That's one problem. The other problem is that the exchanges are not going to work anyway because of who will sign up. It's going to be an adversely selected population, and insurance rates are going to go through the roof. That's reality. And, like I said, $300 million already spent. This sort of IT probably could have been done for $6 million. You know, I think probably my favorite example of an IT system that is way more expensive than this is Facebook. And I believe Mark Zuckerberg built that when he was back at Harvard, and he and some of his friends were kind of drunk when they did it. But somehow it seems to be working, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's just incredible. You know, a lot of the talk is this free money that Oregon got magically just kind of disappeared into the system. And I think a lot of people are wanting to know where that money went and how did it get allocated. And I think I heard something here not too long ago that the feds were actually going to look into that issue. And I think they want to know how they can spend that much money and come up with a zero like that. What are you hearing?
Yeah, and actually, Oregon's congressional delegation are two U.S. senators or Democrats. Four of our five people in Congress are Democrats. The one Republican, his name's Greg Walden, and he's kind of fourth down the list in the food chain as far as leadership in the U.S. House. And he has called for a congressional investigation of, and our exchange is called Cover Oregon. And that is going to happen. And I think it's going to be incredibly interesting because like I say, we're a Democrat-controlled state. When they set up the exchange, what they did was they created what's called a public corporation, which means that the Legislative Assembly has no direct oversight over it except when it comes to budget. And at this point, because it's all federal dollars, we don't even have that kind of oversight. And over the course of the last year, every time we've had the Cover Oregon people in, to talk to us about what's going on. They have lied to us. Pure and simple, they have lied. And so one of the things we are looking at doing moving forward is when people, especially agency people, come in to testify before one of our committees, we want to swear them in. And so that there could be actual consequences for the lies they tell us.
Holy cow, I can't imagine why anybody would testify and not be sworn in to start with. I don't care if they're investigating gummy bears. Why would you have somebody testify on anything and not swear them in? That's
nuts. Gummy bears.
Well, it's been really frustrating because, these bureaucrats are really good at the tap dance, and that's all they've been doing, and we have... what would be interesting for you guys if you could get copies of some of the television ads they ran for Cover Oregon. It's some ad firm out of Portland, and I think they have made like $40 million off this ad campaign. But it's ads done by what you would expect, hippies from back in the 60s who were on LSD.
Yeah, I've seen them. I thought they were the absolute worst I'd ever seen.
Did you get Richard Simmons in yours?
Yeah, until I saw the Richard Simmons ones. Those went over the top. Those were actually kind of gross. But
you can have the Oregon Pajama Boy. That was
Oregon
my favorite.
Commercials, I mean, they're almost scary. I don't know who thought they were a good idea, but... They were over the top.
On top of the bizarreness of them, those and they've got billboards on the freeway and stuff like that. None of them even talk about what the program is. So what are you supposed to get from this? So.
Exactly, and I want to know who do they know that got them the contract to spend that much money with them and come up with that?
Did they too go to college with Michelle Obama? Hey, on. okay, so
we
can all make up our own stories here, but we're going to come back and get the truth in 2 minutes. We need to take a quick break. We'll be back with Senator Jeff Cruz from Oregon. You can reach us on the chat room, wethepeopleradio.us, or call in 530-605-4567.
Yeah, I still want to know about gummy bears.
And they lie to me.
Didn't see the station wagon car. The skunk got squashed. There you are. You got your dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Dead skunk in the middle of the road. Stinking to high heaven.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite song.
That is a personal favorite.
Yeah.
Senator, you might be interested to know that down here our fish and game has gone so crazy that they actually were jacking up one of our almond growers for having a dead skunk in a trap, and it had been there over 24 hours.
And oh my God!
I know
the world is coming to an end.
Well, apparently they die more than once, so if you leave them in the trap longer, they die over and over and over. It's cruel and inhuman. Like, this skunk had obviously been in the trap for like ever.
Oh yeah,
he was.
Yeah. They planted cameras.
He was
out
like
in the, out
one of those
orchard.
Dog toys with no stuffing. Yeah,
was he stinking to high heaven?
He was done stinking to high heaven. He'd been there and done that. He was all gone.
In Technicolor.
So anyway. Yeah.
It's like Ronald Reagan said when, in reference to government, there's no end to the good we can do, right?
We could probably do a whole program on just just amazingly wrong-headed statements that we're all, I mean...
Just don't swear me in. I'll say anything if you don't swear me in.
Don't talk about gummy bears either. We got like 20 minutes plus or minus with a little break in between. What stuff haven't we covered that is pressing in your world?
Lord, Oregon's got a weird way we do government. We have we went to annual sessions a couple of years ago. The long one, which is in the odd number year, is 160 days, and in the even number year, which we just finished, it's 35 days, which is was designed basically to do budget renegotiations and and small technical fixes. But what we're finding is massive programs coming at us. And, I mean, for example, there was a bill that would basically rewrite the way we deal with class action lawsuits. And, I mean, this was massive. And another one I was able to help kill that would basically allow after a settlement for a judge to go in and determine the size of the class, which is incredibly interesting, among other things. But the real issue was in, you know, rewriting of common law in just a very short period of time. And so the way the government in Oregon is structured right now, it is not working really well. And what we're finding is that the liberals who quite honestly believe, and you'd have to say this based on the stuff they bring forward, that people are stupid and they need government to make all their decisions for them. And to put it any other way is not really looking at what the real agenda is. They want government to be in control of everything. That is their agenda. And they do piecemeal, this, that, and the other thing, kind of going at it. But this has been going on since Woodrow Wilson. It's just over the last few years, and you know, it has been accelerated. Barack Obama put the agenda into hyperspeed, and so that's what we're dealing with. And quite honestly, I know we say this all the time, but I think the 2014 elections are maybe one of the most important ones in my lifetime. I know it's an off year, but for example, in the state of Oregon, to us to get back to some balance in government, and you know, to get the Republicans in control of at least one chamber in the legislature, so we got a backstop to you know, what our governor's agenda is. I've taken I don't call him Governor Kitzhaber anymore, I call him King John, because he wants to be king and he wants to control everything.
Well, I got to step in and disagree with you a little bit there. I really don't see how the government can be effective only being half in control. I think if we can get them totally in control, they could do a lot better job. I mean,
yeah, he said backstop. He didn't say home run.
Oh, okay.
different ball game there, man. No, it is. It's frustrating. And the other guys think, oh, you know, we've got it now in California. Now we're going to get all our great policies. So we get, you know, crap like CARB. You know, what a brilliant idea. You know, they can't find, you know, volcanoes or forest fires, but, you know, we can find our truckers and stuff. So, hey, are you guys setting up some of those stations at the border there so you can make $1 zillion off of us?
We haven't done that yet, but I think it's on the agenda. You know, the governor's clean energy program and carbon credits and all that stuff, we've been studying it, and the legislative assembly decided not to move forward with anything. And so our governor said, that's fine, he's going to do it all by executive order. Does that sound similar to somebody in D.C.?
Well, no kid, that whole executive order thing is becoming quite the tool.
I'll tell you what, I think there should be, I don't know where, I guess I should do my homework, but I'm not really sure where they get that. Is it something the legislature, if you guys actually had both houses at some point, could you make that stop?
No. quite honestly, I think, because, you know, if we pass legislation to stop that, the governor would veto the legislation, and overriding a veto is next to impossible. But I think at some point in time, we're going to need to, and clearly this is a violation of the Constitution and separation of powers. There's no question about that. The question is, what issue do we choose to go to battle on and challenge it in the court system, and who's going to pay for it? Because that's really expensive. But no, you know, if in 2014, which is a gubernatorial election in Oregon, we got a Republican governor, and we aren't giving up on that possibility. The front runner right now is a gentleman by the name of Dennis Richardson, who's from Grants Pass. And if we could do that, then absolutely we'd be able to do it. But the reality of it is that if our governor doesn't like something and he vetoes it, the ability to override, which takes a supermajority, is probably not a reality.
Yeah, I wouldn't hang my hat on having a Republican governor. We had one of those too right before Jerry Brown and that.
No, you didn't. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, we had the governator.
Yeah.
And the governator didn't do us any favors.
No,
he didn't. He got
his hand slapped once and
was that the girlfriend?
Yeah. Yeah, he got smacked down one time, and the fight was over there. Don't believe all those roles he plays in the movies, because he's a little weak spine.
The boys and girls from Sovereign Minds are here. The show that comes on at 10. So for all you people that are enjoying, listening to or, writing about bad things about the government, you get to continue for an entire hour with a new host and hostess. With the mostest. We'll be right back. We've got to take a final speedy break here, unless Bob is not giving me the high sign. Are you giving me the high sign, Bob?
No.
Not giving me the high sign. Okay, we're not taking that speedy break right at this particular moment. I was trying to be a good doobie.
Yeah, what do you think, you're running the show or something?
I don't know. I was trying to pay attention since I, got my daylight savings time all figured out now. Are we ready? We are. We're ready and then some. You're listening to KCNR 1460 AM. You're joining We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Be right back.
The best things in life are free, but you can give.
Yeah, how's the whole marijuana issue doing up there in Oregon? I know Washington's kind of going overboard with it, but what's happening in Oregon?
Well, there was Senator Pruzanski, who is who hates guns, loves marijuana, and he had a measure he wanted the Legislative Assembly to put marijuana legalization on the ballot, kind of a Nancy Pelosi sort of approach. What he wanted, he said, we want the people to agree to legalize it, then after they do that, we'll figure out how to make it work. And we were able to kill that bill. There is an initiative in the process to legalize, but what's interesting is that initiative, the ballot title, is currently being challenged and is before the Oregon Supreme Court, and it's being challenged by another marijuana group.
Really?
Which I found interesting. And so the possibility at this point in time is because they can't actually start gathering signatures to put it on the ballot till after all the legal things have been done. Our hope at this point in time is that they will run out of time and won't be able to gather enough signatures. That's our hope.
Well, does Oregon have medical marijuana approved?
Oh, yeah. We've got a medical marijuana program that's so out of control it's beyond belief. And we have 60,000 cardholders in the state of Oregon.
Wow.
And Oregon's population of about 3.6 million. So
well, that's why you don't have anybody signing up for Obamacare. You don't need it.
They can't. No, they can't. They can't figure out how to do it. They can't pay attention.
Yeah, man. Where's the application, dude? Where,
how many of those 60,000 people were working on putting the website together? That starts to explain a lot more.
So
we should have started
sense.
With marijuana, actually. We should have probably gone there at the beginning, and then, I know, it's just, and it's brutal. I mean, before I moved to California, Oregon was like the place with all the crazy lefties, and then I moved to California, and it was like, no, actually, we have a lot of, and now, it's kind of like, gosh, running away to Oregon seems like a good idea.
Be careful with that one.
And I know. Well, we know about like your sheriff, Gil Gilbertson, is sort of famous down here. So we've been watching how many – they've got, what, two guys now? Is it Gil and, like, one other deputy or something?
That's it, yeah.
That's
for the entirety of Josephine County.
That is a shame.
Yeah. It's and Curry County, which is on the coast, which borders California, is actually in worse shape than Josephine County is. So,
oh, really?
You know, yeah. We can't cut trees and we can't catch fish. And they don't want us to farm. And, Oregon is a natural resource-based state, and that has been our wealth, and that has been our success over the years. And the feds and the environmentalists are taking it all away from us.
And see, California is Northern California is pretty much the same as you folks up in Oregon. Unfortunately, Oregon is entirely natural resources. Gosh, if it was like that in California, maybe we wouldn't have the issues we have. People down south would understand a little bit more about the issue.
Well, and that's the thing, you know, like in the Portland area, because they've got Nike and Intel and all those big folks, and so they're doing fine up there, you know. But, when you talk about Josephine County, for example, over half of the land mass in Josephine County is owned by the federal government. You know, so there's no tax base to start with, and if you take away the jobs, the county has no source of revenue.
Man, so it's like the Wild West in Josephine County.
It is. It is really scary, and you know you talk about marijuana. Southern Oregon and Northern California are both really great climates for growing pot.
Oh, yeah.
And to a large degree, the federal forests have been taken over by the Mexican cartels. We know that, and they have us outgunned. So this is serious stuff.
And is that something? I know those are county budget issues, but at the state level, are they kind of realizing that some of this stuff's hit a tipping point?
Well, we are, and we're trying to get, there's a thing called shared services when you talk about public health and things like that, that actually are the responsibility of the state, and it's been, when I say shared services, the county's put in some money, and the state puts in some money, and at some point in time, that's all going to revert. Default back to the state, and we don't have the money to do it. You know, we refuse to fund our state police to a level that they could fill in the gaps, for example. I mean, it's, you know, but the people in Portland don't care. And so it's a really tough battle.
Mm.
God. That's, and that is something that's, you know, very much slamming up on our Northern California counties. You know, a lot of our resource-based guys.
But it all comes back to politics, and I said earlier, the fact is, the people who are listening to your show are engaged and know what's going on. What they need to do is talk to their friends who have given up and get them to reengage. That's the only hope we have.
Well, you're right on target.
And the other people listening hate us and are just looking for good material for letters to the editor.
You know, I do a newsletter, and it goes out to around 18,000 people, and including people that don't like me. And it's interesting. Occasionally, one of them will actually make an intelligent point, but it very rarely happens.
Amazing.
Oh, my gosh. Well, this has been a lovely chat this morning. I'm really glad I called you early. And you tell What's her name? Lexi? Nikki?
Lexi.
You tell Lexi to check her calendar one more time.
No. And in full disclosure, she actually had it on the calendar. It was just that I hadn't caught up to today myself. When I woke up this morning, I hadn't realized time had changed until I looked at my phone. So I'm in the same boat you are.
Well, Senator, we really do appreciate you coming on the line this morning with us. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks very much. Okay. And as your neighbors to the south with the same kind of problems, we're rooting for you.
Okay. Never give up.
Exactly. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, you've been listening to We the People Radio this morning. We will be joining you next week with... let's see, we have Dennis Prosperia. He's the chairman of Families Protecting the Valley, so we'll learn about the Central Valley water issue next week.
10 o'clock at KCNR Shasta Redding.